truth that you will meet any heart that is open to you, as you told that woman at the well, that it isn't in Jerusalem or in this mountain that you choose to meet, but you meet them in spirit and in truth, is what you're looking for, people to worship you. And so tonight, Father, we just come humbly before you, Lord, knowing you know each one of our ends from each one of our beginnings, our down fallings and our upcomings and everything in between, Lord. Father, truly we are naked before thee, with whom we have to do, Lord. You know everything about us, oh God. Every heart here, Lord. And you know what we have need of, Father. And Lord, from the depths of our hearts, we truly thank you that all of our lives are in the palm of your hand, Lord. And that you're designing each and every one to bring to pass, Lord, what you've ordained each and every one to do and to express, and all collectively, Lord, expressing your wonderful body, the body of our Lord Jesus. Lord, tonight, glorify yourself in every heart and every mind. Draw each of us closer to you. Place in us that clear path that you want us to walk, that you may be expressed. We pray that you remove every impediment, cast aside every stumbling stone, Lord. We may run to you, O God, with our conscience clear and our hearts resolved to fulfill your will. Grant it. Have your way tonight, Father, we pray, as we lift all these things to you. And this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. God bless you. Now, while you're standing, we will greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is good. Always.
Amen.
And we certainly rejoice. And just want to greet everybody that's online, that not able to be with us here tonight. You know, Brother Don, Sister Mary are at the lake tonight, and our lake river. Most always it's the lake, the river. We have a restful time, nice respite there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I said, as you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6, or rather 4. Let's read 9 through 11. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Isn't that wonderful? For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That's the Lord, what he's going to revenge when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your precious, life-giving word. Please now break to us your bread as we speak for your glory and honor. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you feel so led. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. What I'd like to speak on tonight is getting ready. Getting ready. We certainly know it's the late hour, right? We say that every time we come here. I think that's probably, I must press a button. It's a late hour. It's a late hour. It's a late hour. Brother Jesse, when he was up last time, he mentioned how that the Pope came out of the United States of America. Amen. I'd just like to read something to you about that. Amen. And this is where Brother Branham said this, Acts of the Holy Spirit. He says, I believe one of these glorious days when this united confederation of church goes together and the new pope is brought out of the United States and put over there according to prophecy, then they'll form an image like unto the beast. And I tell you, the true church of God will be drove together, the true believers out of, and then he mentions a bunch of denominations. It's not the denominations now, it's the believer. The Lord has a way of shaking out of everything that isn't of him, to shake loose the believer. Amen. We're not a denomination, right? We have the words of eternal life. Amen. And these are the words, amen, that'll set us free. And there's a lot of his children that are yet in those denominations. They just haven't heard that cry yet, come out of her, my people. But they will. Amen. So he'll pull them out of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, wherever they are, will go together. And cemented by the love of God, remember that's that capstone, they'll make the body of the Lord Jesus Christ all the believers. And agnostics and shallow-minded will be cast to one side, and they'll go right on in to the confederation of churches. Now that was preached in December 19th, 54. And I was curious. This new pope, Robert Francis Prevost, if I'm saying his name right, or Prevost, he was born September the 14th, 1955, almost to the day, 9 months later, after Brother Branham preached that. Think about that. Brother Branham often says you've got to do something first, you know, throw a rock up in the air, you know, in order for, you know, for the Lord to do something. He wants us to have a part in it. And then there's a lot of times, too, we got to stand still and wait for him till he does his part and don't get ahead of him. But I believe that Brother Branham had to speak that. And then that young man was born, which was the Pope. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He named Leo, after Pope Leo the 13th. He's Pope Leo the 14th. And he was the one that was very much strong in that which came forth from the Second Vatican Council. Now, he He believed in a social outreach, which is, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But anytime you put in something in front of a word, like social justice is what he was standing for, what about just justice? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Politically correct. Why not just be correct, right? That's what the devil does. He's a sophist. You know what a sophist is? Kids, it's a sophist, you know? Somebody who's good with words. And they'll take, and by rearranging the language, they'll change it to change the argument, to throw you off. And the devil is very, very good at that. So this pope here, he wants expressed the alignment with the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. The Second Vatican Council was all about, if you remember, it's before a lot of you guys' time, Brother Ron, Sister Pam, the ecumenical movement, which of course was a reach out of getting everybody together. Even this last pope here, he too was trying to seine the net and bringing people in and so forth. He says, after all, by one baptism, we're all united into one body. And that baptism he's talking about is not the spiritual baptism, it's a water baptism. Baptism in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which they say is a Catholic dogma. They themselves say that is a, that's their doctrine, that's their baptism. There's a lot of folks out there that are baptized in titles and don't realize that they're baptized in a Catholic baptism. And that's going to be the thing that's going to be the unifier. See, we're all baptized. We all have the same water baptism. So he says, the fact that all Christians belong to the mainstream Christian denominations, profess faith in Jesus, believe that the Bible is inspired by God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. And believe in baptism according to Trinity formula, as seen as being a basis for ecumenism and is the goal of Christian unity. When you see here, think organized Christian unity. Well, God never did start an organization. Amen. And it's all about control. It has always been all about control. Amen. So, and they say, as biblical grounds of striving for church unity in which Jesus prays, may all be one. Well, we believe that. We rejoice that we all may be one, but it's not an organization that's going to do that. It's not man-made. He says, in that day you shall know that the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. That is the only way that oneness is going to take place. And that oneness, well, they're going to have an artificial oneness, right? The bride of Jesus Christ is going to have the authentic oneness. So the devil always has a counterfeit, right? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, obviously, if it's plain here that the current pope from the U.S. is going to be a unifier. That's exactly what Brother Branham said he would do. It's exactly following it according to Scripture, according to prophecy. Amen? Brother Branham makes a comment here. He says this. This is in the Identified Masterpiece of God, preached in 64. He says, and they're trying to force us into that, folks. You can see it coming. The handwriting is on the wall. Won't be too long. We're going to be a world church. And every church is going to have to fall right into that or stand the circumstances. Well, are you ready to stand for that? You better not do it just because you think it's the right thing. Think about that. You better have Christ in you Because that word is eternal. And that word is what will raise you up again. You become part of that word. You're identified with the word. I don't know if I read that quite well. I want to read this again so you catch it. And every church is going to have to fall right into that or stand the circumstances. Well, are you ready to stand that? In other words, to withstand it. Are you ready? You better not do it just because you think it's the right thing. Okay? You better have Christ in you, because that word is eternal, and that word is what will raise you up again. You become part of that word. You're identified with that word. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So this obviously is another flashing red light of his coming. Got the Pope out of from the United States. We knew it was going to happen, right? We've been hearing it for years, Brother Ron. Isn't that right? Sister Pam, years hearing it. And now here it is. Sister Linnell, amen. Praise the Lord. And Israel is fighting for its existence, right? Brother Branham said that Israel was God's timepiece. If you wanted to know the day of the week, you look at the calendar. If you wanted to know what God was doing, you look at Israel. So here, Israel is fighting for its God-given rights, its God-given land, amen. And while that is going on, you and I, parallel, we're fighting for our God-given possession in Christ Jesus. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. And the bride is making herself ready to leave. It is an invisible union. Now, these things are very common to us. Amen. But it's going to go from here down to here. And this is what I really believe with all my heart. And I believe it's just right there. Brother Branham, again, highlighting, he says, and we know that history is closing out. The world's history will soon be over. Then we're going to step into a new day, to the great millennium, that as one believer, I believe in a millennium reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth, the physical return of the Lord Jesus to take a physical people glorified by his cleansing blood. Amen. Glorified by his cleansing blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was an invisible union. Now, speaking of invisible union, and in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ, that messenger is here now, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what did he just tell us? Here we are sitting, we're standing here. He says, when Brother Branham was there, the bride of Jesus Christ was already uniting with the bridegroom back then. So this unification, this uniting has been going on now for come December. He left the scene in December of 65, and we are literally 60 years this December. In other words, he has been gone longer than he's been here on earth. Think about that. So you think about, what is that then? That is the long suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God waiting. He's waiting for that last seed. He's waiting for you and I to be getting into that place. Amen. He's, though the wheels of prophecy, though they turn slow, they turn sure. We just heard about the Pope coming from the United States. Amen. Everything that Brother Branham had said concerning prophecy, the things that he laid out, what the Lord, everything is coming to pass just exactly. Amen. So, God's word doesn't miss. Amen. Long-suffering. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and waiteth long for it until he receiveth the early and latter rain. He waiteth. Amen. The long-suffering of the coming unto the coming of the Lord. Long-suffering. Amen. I just spoke to Luik. And he wanted to send his personal greetings, by the way, to y'all. So I just want to do that, be sure I did that. And he was telling me of their pastor, Brother Steve, Sister Laura, help me out, Brisson? Did I say that right? They're having quite an outreach there, apparently. They've been baptizing people. And I think in recent time, and even this weekend, I think they're baptizing 7 more, you know, a total of like 14 people in a very, very short period of time. So people are coming in. So there's still seed that are out there. Amen? And we have to be open that God wants to use you to plant that precious seed, to get that last one in. Because think about it. When that last one comes in, then we can all go home. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're very grateful. And so the other thing we're waiting for, Revelation 19:7, be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the bride, I said the bride, that's not in the Bible here, it's his wife. So if you look up the bride, you're going to miss. It's his wife, same difference, same meaning. And his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. So we know that the Lord has methods to get us ready. Amen. As the eagle stirreth her nest, takes away the lamb's skin, pulls it out of there, makes sure that all the sticks and everything, we start beginning to feel those things. For all of a sudden, we're not comfortable anymore of where we are. And that's the thing, is we can't be comfortable of where we are. The Lord wants us to move on. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow further into him. Amen. He wants us to be fully more clothed upon by his own righteousness. Amen. So I know that we don't pray like we should, but we will. Amen. We have an incredible, okay, we're promised a squeeze. That's right. Amen. Just said that. But why wait for that? Why wait for the squeeze? Why not now? We've got so many scriptures right now that encourages us right now. Like we just read Hebrews 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So think about that, Zoe. If you diligently seek the Lord, he will reward you. Isn't that wonderful? Kids, if you diligently seek the Lord, this is not just an adult thing. This is for everybody, and he wants each one of us. And we all are accountable to the Lord. Once we get to about the age of 9 or 12, we become accountable before God. We can't hide anymore behind our parents. And you have this promise that the Lord is a rewarder if you diligently seek him. It also says, draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. If you feel like he's a bit far away, draw nigh unto him. He'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't have to wait for the squeeze, but he will squeeze us. Brother Branham was talking about the time he got a personal squeeze. He says, I think of my wife of 22 years old, taken just merely a girl, a little mother there. And the headline here said, young mother, reverendess, dies. Oh, my heart bled. I didn't know what to do. But today, I knew it was all working for my good. I know the life had to be ground and twisted and squeezed to get what in it was out. There was too much Branham in there. It had to be squeezed out before God could make himself known. Think about that. Brother Branham had to squeeze him in order to get him in the place where he needed to be for God to use him the way that he was used. He goes on to say, there was too much of you and you, So God had to squeeze it out through trials. And while that squeezing was coming, it's hard, but after a while, the skies clear back. Then you see the purpose of God. Then you cry, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days, he will stand on the earth. Though the skin worms destroys this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. These little trials and things are just for a moment, and they fade and pass away, but they're only done for your good. Amen? Let us remember that God would get the glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Don't you thank God for the personal squeezes that he gives us, that he in his wisdom, that he sends our way. He's faithful. Our lives are in his hands. He knows exactly how to get us ready. He knows exactly what trials to send our way. Another place, Brother Branham says he puts bits in the mouths of trials and send them to us. What does that mean, put bits in their mouth? It means he's in control of it. There is no temptation, there is no trial, but is common, right? That with that temptation, the Lord will make a way of escape. He'll make a way. He'll provide something for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for that. Nothing happens by accident. All things for a purpose. Romans 8:28, very common verse. And just because something bad happens, it doesn't mean God is judging you. You're never judged for your sins. Now, you can cause something. I'm not saying that's, but that it's not a judgment. That's a chastisement. There's a difference between chastisement and a judgment. The judgment has already been taken care of on the cross of Jesus Christ. His blood has already been shed for every sin that you've ever done and every sin you're going to do. He's already paved the way. We just got to make sure our sins are under that blood. How do we do that? By confession, by making it right. Amen. God knows how exactly to do it, exactly how to get a hold of our attention in our lives and cause us to be attentive to him. Amen. To listen up and to pay closer heed. You know, we often are told about the lamb whose leg, the straying lamb that the shepherd had to break. And we were told that, you know, that really doesn't happen. Shepherds don't really do that. But, you know, somebody got inspired to tell that story. I think there's a beautiful word picture in there where God does come along and does something and cause somebody to be broken so that they don't trust in their own strength. They don't trust in their own ability. They don't trust in anything of this earth, in the way of gifts that they've been given. But they trust in the shepherd, the great shepherd. And they said, as the shepherd, now he's got to carry that lamb because that leg is broken. And then later on, when that leg finally heals, as the whole time the shepherd is just nurturing that lamb, when the shepherd puts that lamb down, that little lamb doesn't stray anymore. And that's really what it comes down to. We need to stay close to the Lord Jesus. Every trial that comes our way is meant to draw us closer to him, to get more of us out, amen, out of us, that more of Christ can come in. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hebrews 12:5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You say, well, I didn't get any chastening. I never was chastened. Well, just wait. Your time's coming. If you're a son, amen, by faith, you're his daughter, You'll be chased. Be something in you that they want you to die out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's because of some kind of habit. And it doesn't necessarily have to be horribly sinful. It could be something that gets between you and God. You put such an emphasis on it. It's like you can't live without it. And the Lord says, yes, you can. And He'll make it a way to realize that all you need is Jesus Christ. That is all you need is Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes it's a way to humble us. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7, if you want to turn there and read. You might have your finger still there, just a couple pages back from where you've read. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Think about that. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient unto thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This wasn't life-threatening that Paul was asking. It was something that was physically very bothersome. Some suggested maybe it was his eyes. He says, see how large a letter I wrote there, you know, with my own hand, you know, there in Galatians. I believe that's the chapter. So God allowed that in Paul's life, that he would be humble to always rely upon the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And sometimes He just allows trials to come to us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. What is it? All things work together for the good. Amen, Brother Peter? All things work together for the good. He's got a purpose. So the Lord has ways of getting us just exactly where He wants us to be. Just exactly where He wants our character to be. And to mold us into His image. Amen. Perfectly. You know, I marvel. Oh, Brother Branham used Psalm 27:5 as a text for the rapture. I mean, it's just amazing. Who would ever think that that would be used for rapture? He says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. That's Himself. When is it going to happen? At the time of trouble. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. Amen. And He shall set me up upon a rock. What is that rock? That rock is a revelation. The revelation of who He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said something here regarding this. Again, he says, now, the third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. He said that in Look Away to Jesus, December 29th, in 63. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's I'm going to skip over this. I have, and I'm warned of this soon, because the word isn't correct. I'm not sure what this is. It's not a word. It says, I am warned of this soon, right at this time now. It's just happened, so it could identify its present among you, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. So you see, all these external events have a play and a place for our development and where we need to be in Christ. Amen. And then God is going to do something, just like the Hebrew children. I think nobody liked to be in the Hebrew children's shoes. At the time, they were at the brink of that furnace, and they're walking up to it, having been heated 7 times hotter than it ever was. I think none of us at the time would necessarily have been in their shoes, knowing God is able to deliver, but we don't know if he will, but nonetheless, we will not bow. And the Lord came on the scene, and it was a great, tremendous miracle, one of the outstanding miracles in the Bible. Amen? And so we don't know what kind of a duress we may be put under. It may be like the children of Israel, the Hebrew children standing up at the mouth of that furnace. It might be just like that for the bride of Jesus Christ before the Lord really manifests himself. We don't know. We know she's not going under a judgment, but we know that there's going to be some kind of external pressure. Amen. But this is ordained. Why? That's homecoming. So where that door was a door of an expression of God's deliverance, amen, the door for us is not only a door of a deliverance, going to sort of break right open into glory. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be raptured out of here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So it's getting ourselves ready to go home. This is what this is all about. It's getting our garments ready. How? Hebrews 11:4 says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Labor to enter into that rest. It almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like giant shrimp or military intelligence. You know, I don't mean to make a joke here, but labor to enter into the rest, right? Juxtaposed upon each other. And yet, it's true, because God's word is true. Amen? So how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Brother Branham gives us little clues here. And I wrote these things down. And I'm going to share them with you, and hopefully they can help. Amen. And I just have a little bit to go here for tonight. Number one, overcome the thought of human ability. Die to self. Wholly trust him. Don't look at your failures. Look at his overcoming. Brother Branham says, in perfect strength by perfect weakness. He says, now remember this, and especially you young preachers and lay members alike, that's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. Amen. That's right. Another thing, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down, this is a huge one, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Anything that starts getting you know that it isn't of Christ, you kick it out. When an accusation against a brother or against a sister rises up against you, you kick it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When something comes up and says that you're a failure, it says, that's true, but that's nothing to do with it. Just kick it out in the name of Jesus Christ. I am more than able through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. So Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I got some more to say about that a little bit later on, what Brother Branham says. Why do we do that? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So it's an exercise, if you would. It's a godly exercise. And the godly exercise is this, is that we put all our trust wholly in the Lord. Every minute of every day, we just think on him. Go about your business. Go about your daily. But always be meditating on the Lord. When Satan comes in, kick him out in the name of Jesus Christ. Exercise yourself. Exercise that sword of the Spirit that you have. Wield that sword of the Spirit and fight the fight of good faith. Strike down every thought that exalts itself, every thought that tries to cast something on you that's negative. Cast out every negative thought. Amen. Your children will come to Christ. Your children will serve the Lord with all their hearts. Amen. Praise God. Every negative thought. Praise God. Brother Branham says this, "And to give you a little courage, which I find among the American Christians, that the great lack is of fear. The American Christian seems to be afraid that God won't keep his word, and afraid if you just don't squeeze and hold on, it's nothing that you can do in the beginning. It's what God has done." Got to get down to it's what God has done. Amen. Our righteousness is because of what God has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham talks about Moses here a little bit. And this is good, Brother Jesse. I like this. He said, "Did God ever feel sorry for Moses with all of his weaknesses? He said, poor little Moses, something sure had happened to you. You fell from your degree. Oh, my. Oh, yeah, you're a great man, intellectual, and there wasn't nothing going to stop you. Brother, you had all your PhDs and LLDs and everything else, and now here you come confessing that you're nothing and you can't do anything. You're just so weak." No, God wasn't sorry for him. God never took pity on him. God had him cured then of all that stuff. He wasn't sorry for him. But we find out, if you're putting it down, Exodus 4:14, the anger of God was kindled against him. He wasn't sorry for him because he was weak. We find out, you say, "Oh Lord, I just feel so bad. I don't believe I could do it." God don't feel sorry for you. He feels like kicking you around a little bit, see? Sure, God don't feel sorry for you. He gets angry with you. You're just getting in shape then to where he can use you. Yeah. God getting cured up. God could use him. He had the cure. He was away from human abilities then. He didn't have nothing he could rely upon then. But then he was ready for service. Yeah. Got your inadequacies? Yeah. Perfect. You're set. Ready to go. Can't do it? Perfect. You're set. You're ready to go. Nothing to do with human ability. It's all him. It's all what he does. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's a scripture there. If the Lord wants it, he'll bring it back. No ability at all. Amen. It's all him. It's what he does. Yep, when I am weak, he is strong. Praise the Lord. Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, give me a little test. And ask you, you shall receive." So he got him the test. And when he tried to do it in himself, he failed. And every other man will fail. He got his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look how big the waves was. And when he seen the waves were contrary, he began to sink. And every man that will look at his affliction after being prayed for is sure to sink. Think about that. You don't look at your affliction. You keep your eyes on the promise giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on his word. He's the one who promised. He watches over it to perform it. He keeps it in the hollow of his hand, and in the depths of his heart, it's embedded. His words has to be true. So get your mind off your sickness, off of your troubles. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Here's one more quote here. Praise God. He says, this is evangelism. This is the time to shake people. This is the time that God says there'd come a time. He shook Mount Sinai, but one more, there'd come a shaking again. But he said he wouldn't only shake Mount Sinai, but he'd shake everything that could not be moved. Okay? That is the law of God. But did you notice the rest of the scripture? But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. The heavens will shake. The earth will shake. Heavens and earth will pass away, but that word will never pass away. For upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. But we receive a kingdom which is the word of God himself, and God is his word. He don't shake himself. Amen. Oh my, but we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's unshakable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Musicians, would you come? This is homecoming. We're getting close. We're getting closer. Getting ourselves ready. And don't be alarmed at whatever comes your way. God knows ahead of time what exactly is going to befall you and what you're going to confront. The Lord has it to get you ready to receive more of him. Amen? And that's what I'm looking for, is more of him. If you want to pull up, Judgment Day is coming. Oh, my loving brother. Praise God. Lord is good all the time. Praise God. Oh, the Judgment Day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom just to be your pillow? I lay over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. At the sounding of the forever pass away. Together in the presence of the Lord with us. Anybody have anything they'd like us to pray for, pray about at all? Brother Peter, I'd like you to come and close tonight. Can you?
Pray. Heavenly Father, we, as we come, Lord, this evening, and we've heard your word, and Lord, we know that by the foolishness of preaching, Lord, that's the conduit by which your Spirit has chosen to move amongst your people, and we're grateful for that, Lord. We're thankful for your words and the words of life to us tonight, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you would, the seeds would be planted, and that throughout this week that we would just meditate on the things that you're doing in our hearts, the things that we heard tonight. Lord, we're grateful that you are working. Lord, we're grateful that your grace has been shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen,
we rejoice in your love and in your grace. Thankful for each one. Thankful for our time together, Lord. Just go with us now as we part ways. Be with each one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let's take the name of Jesus with us as we go. Praise the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe.